Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. And I have a return guest again today, which I'm thrilled to have Linda Lovely on the show. How you doing, Lindy? Linda. How you
Yeah, my
doing?
name also gives people problems sometimes. I don't know whether you know, my husband's last name is Hooker. So Linda Lovely Hooker was not an option.
Yes, I seem to remember that from the last episode. And I always think Lovely Linda, Lovely Rita, which is the Beatles song, but that's not a thing.
Right.
But I work with someone named Rita often, so that's, it always pops in my head. So welcome back. All of
Thank
that
you.
to say welcome back. Linda, a brief introduction. So the book we're talking about today is A Killer App, and that is in your bio. So A Killer App is Linda Lovely's 11th mystery suspense novel. Whether she's writing cozy mysteries, historical suspense, or contemporary thrillers, her novels share one common element: smart, independent heroines. We know all about those people. Humor and romance also sneak into every manuscript. Her work has been recognized as a finalist by such prestigious awards as RWA's Golden Heart for Romantic Suspense and Thriller Nashville's Silver Falchion for Best Cozy Mystery. That's a cool conference and a cool award. A longtime member of Sisters in Crime and former chapter president, Linda also belongs to Mystery Writers of America and International Thriller Writers. She lives in on a lake in upstate South Carolina with her husband and enjoys swimming, tennis, gardening, long walks, and of course, reading. My previous guest, the one before you, is from North Carolina, so I'm doing Carolinas today.
Oh, all
It's all
right.
day. We're having a Carolinas themed month here on the show. Your book is out this week. I think this was the week it came out, and it's called A Killer App. So tell us about the new book.
Well, this is the third in my HOA mystery series, and I always look for a villain that is as smart as my heroine so that she has a challenge. And I saw a deep fake video of President Obama about a year and a half ago. And I said, whoa, if somebody started using this to settle personal scores, what would happen? And I had my villain.
Yeah.
So that made this very interesting from a research point of view because artificial intelligence is affecting everything right now.
Absolutely. It's on the minds of a lot of people in the creative industry. I mean, that's what all these actors and writer strikes are have been the
Right.
core of the issue is that, and those deep fake videos are freaky. Very scary. Because you could just, it's the soccer mom that you don't like. Let's put some video of her up, and take your revenge. I mean, I would think that'd be really traumatizing. So yeah, you're tapped into something. And when you're writing this, you didn't know that the writer's strike was going to be happening. And like,
No, I mean, I started this over a year ago, so and started doing research. Luckily, I have a nephew that's in the IT industry and provided a lot of background for me, so I wouldn't be going off the charts with it. But
yeah.
I've continued the research because, as you say, it's affecting the publishing industry so drastically. In fact, I've been asked to speak to, I think, three groups now on artificial intelligence. So.
Yes, it has greatly impacted us as a small press because the venues that we use to publish both of our ebooks and print books, have been inundated with people trying to upload, AI. Not written
Right.
novels. So people writing a novel a day. So Amazon just put out a thing. They're not going to publish more than three novels a day
I
from
saw
anyone.
that.
I thought, oh my God, okay. People are acting bananas, but everything, hopefully we'll get all sorted out, but it is kind of a hot mess right now. And it's interesting because people are trying to write, use it to, people are using it for good things and then people are using it for those kinds of things. And yeah, it's always like like when the internet came around, it's like, what is this going to be? So we have to
Well,
get used to new
Authors
things.
Guild also had the place where you could plug in your name and see if one of your books had been used, and I did, and it was in there. So.
Yeah, multiple friends were taken over by that. Well, I think I might know, but question number one is for this book, which came first for you, the characters or the plot? Well, that's going to be a tough one for you to answer this time.
Right. Basically, all of my books, I think the characters come first, but it's sort of a tie because when I think of a character, well, in a series, you already have your heroine and your main characters after the first book, but the villain is always the character then that you're trying to think of. And for me, the character, their motives, and sort of who they are determine the plot. So basically, the characters come first and the theme of the book, but I really don't know exactly what that villain is going to do until I start writing.
Yeah, well, that's good to know that you're surprise yourself along the way, because, you know, when you write a series, it can feel, it's, you know, you feel comfortable in it because, you know, the world they're in, you know, the characters and all that stuff, but it's cool to like have twisty things happening in the plot. So that's good. Well, you're a very good writer, as we all know. So, well, we kind of already touched on this a little bit when we were starting off, but was that the deep fake video? How did you arrive at the premise of your series in general, the HOA series, not specifically this book?
Series in general, I've lived in four homeowner associations. I've been a president, a vice president, a secretary, and I've joined a lawsuit against one.
Oh my.
So I've been across the board on it. And I decided that HOAs were ideal because they were very much like the small villages that Agatha Christie had in her books. And Miss Marple would be very much at home in an HOA. So the problem that I wanted to, that I saw with doing an HOA mystery was I didn't want to have the Cabot Cove syndrome where everybody dies in the same HOA. So my heroine works as a consultant for an HOA management firm that has more than a dozen clients. So that way I can spread the mayhem and murders around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you run into that because, you know, I'm going in for my series, I'm going into book nines and tens. Like, well, every single time she works on a movie, somebody it's just, you know. But I move around for different cities, and that's sort of how I get away with it. But yeah, lots of people die all over every day. Well, that's good. Well, you do have to keep it fresh. So I want to know why you were involved in a lawsuit for HOA. Can I get a bonus question? What happened? Somebody made their shutters red instead of green or something?
No, the neighborhood was trying to impose a fee on the neighborhood without a vote, which was required by the covenants. So it was basically a procedural thing that, you know, maybe you can do this, but at least you need to get everybody's permission to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of legality that goes along with these things. And
yeah,
I've never lived in one myself. I was lived not in one, but I have neighbors right directly across the street from my mom's house. There's an HOA. They're very strict, but she's literally like across the street, so she can do whatever she wants. It was always kind of funny because she's like, I'm gonna let my grass grow and put stuff in my driveway if I want to, or, you know.
Well, there are a lot of good and bad things, and I've had two HOA managers of large HOAs that have been very helpful to me in terms of looking at what their problems are, and one of them said that they had met all of my characters.
I'll bet. Yeah. Neighbors make good fences. Good fences make good neighbors. I don't know, something like that. But that's like always the vibe when I'm reading your books. Like, get a big fence as long as the HOA approves it.
Yeah.
Can't go over a certain height or whatever. All right. Number three question. What were some of the challenges you faced while writing this particular book? I'm guessing keeping up with the AI stuff. But you tell
right.
me.
Right. It's basically, some challenges. I mean, I gave a talk Monday that I was asked to do on artificial intelligence, and I told them at the beginning of the speech, by the time I leave the podium, it will be out of date. It's moving so fast. I mean, that day, Elon Musk, you know, introduced his new chat GPT. And every day their announcements, it's just moving so quickly that trying to keep up with it is very difficult.
Yeah, it seemed like it came out of nowhere. I mean, kind of, because, you know, we always had like certain things that were like, you could tell like the text, you know, when you're writing a text, it was telling you what to say kind of thing. So it had some of it somewhere else, but then it seemed like it just exploded. Now it's everywhere. You open up Google and it's like, oh, do art one, you know, like any app that you have, they want you to use their version of AI. I'm like, oh my gosh, it is like Hal taking over the world. That movie scared me when I was a kid. Yes, I can see where that'd be a challenge. So what do you hope readers will take away after reading this book? I ask this question a lot, and I'm always surprised by the answers, but your answer might change from today till next week, but what today, what do you hope people will take away from reading your book?
Well, I think awareness that what they see on the internet is not possibly reality, and that what is presented to them as real could be a deep fake. And also that there are echo chambers, and once they've liked something, they're going to keep getting fed information that goes along with that, and they may never see the other side of a coin. So the awareness that you may be closeting yourself into one point of view and not be aware that other things are happening. And just that awareness, I think, can help people keep a more balanced approach when they're on the internet.
Yeah, that would be, that's a really good note, because everyone, it's a, you know, you surround yourself with people that kind of talk back to you what you think, and you know, that's not, it's not how
well,
it's
amazing.
Be.
My great nephew is a punter for the Philadelphia Eagles now. So
wow.
My news feed has all of this information on Philadelphia Eagles all of a sudden.
That is so cool. I didn't know that. That's really, congratulations. That's a neat thing. You have to let me know. You have to text me his name so we can watch it. We watch a lot of football around here.
Okay.
That's cool. Oh, that's so interesting. That's funny. I think our nephew is a big Phillies fan, Eagles fan. He's a Philly guy. Cool. Yes. No, it's true, because there's a lot of, well, I like, it reminds me of that meme. It's like, don't believe everything you read on the internet, and then you attribute it to like Abraham Lincoln or something. It's like, you know, like, it makes me laugh every time, even though it's, because people do read something like, well, I saw it somewhere, and that's, therefore it is fact, and I'm just going
to
say it, and then a bunch of people trumpet it or echo it because they believe you, you know. I don't know. Yeah, trusted news sources are the best ones, but we are in a weird time, I'll tell you that. All right, fifth question. No, we're not gonna fix it today, but you know, we can talk about it. So your fifth question is, if you could invite a famous writer to dinner, who would it be and why?
Susan Isaacs.
Oh, that's a good one.
I really like her because she seems to write what strikes her at the moment. She's written great history. She's written funny, funny contemporary humorous mysteries. She's written more historical family sagas. And she just seems to be a very interesting person. And her contemporary humorous mysteries, or mysteries with humor, I should say, the interior dialogues just crack me up. So I think I would really enjoy sitting down with her.
Yeah, I went through a phase, I think it was a college-y times, that I read through all of her books. Like, for some reason, I just grabbed them all up. But I worked at a bookstore at the time. I think I've got, you know, you take one home, you're like, okay, now I need all these. So I
read, she's still writing, so.
Wow, yeah, but I have to catch back up, because I went through a major phase, and then I sort of dropped off. But I will have to look that up again. That's interesting. You know, she's good. She's a really good writer. Very, very realistic sort of depictions of relationships and things like that. I do remember that part. Very good. Well, when you're returning, we don't do the quiz, but I do want to ask you, what are you doing for your, you said you're having a big dinner, you're cooking. I need to know what you're making for this release party. I need to know all the details. What is happening with the release of the book? Tell me all those things.
Well, we have a new bookstore, which I am delighted to support. So my book release party is going to be at the bookstore. And we are serving mimosas, and I'm making homemade candies and lemon bars and blondies. And I have some friends bringing some more savory treats. So,
ooh.
Yeah, well, and we're doing door prizes. I always do that. So,
well, that sounds super fun. You should throw parties for other writers. It should be like a side business, like catering people's release party. That sounds awesome. So what's the book story? Let's give them a shout out.
It's First Chapter Bookshop, downtown Seneca, South Carolina.
Awesome. Well, that's great. That's so nice of them to host you and to allow you to have liquor in their place. You know, it's cool when people are cool. I like that. I like that very much. So this is, you said, what number of book is this? Three? So how many more are we going to have of these? What's going on? What's next for you? What can we look forward to?
Well, as you know, I just signed a contract with you for book number four. So that'll be out next November. I like to make my mind up one at a time because I think sometimes series go too long and people run out of really good ideas. So I want to make sure that I had a really good idea for a plot before I agreed to write another book.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair. And you've written so many, you kind of know when your steam is going to run out. And you know, we're super chill. So you can write a book or write 10 books or whatever you want to do. We don't care. As long as you're happy and we like the books, we are fine with
Right.
them. Yeah, we've had more people kind of move into that model because, you know, you don't know. And it depends on what's going on elsewhere and other things you're trying to achieve and all that stuff. So, well, I'm excited there are going to be at least one more, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be more than that because they're very good and they have a good following and people love the books and you, and that's great. That's good for you, good for us.
Well,
It's all
thank
good.
you.
Oh, what's your can people follow you and find out about your events online? Where how can people find you online?
Well, basically my website, lindalovely.com. And
Perfect.
I try to keep it updated, though I don't always do a great job of that, but it usually has all of my events on it, upcoming events where I'm going to be speaking, et cetera.
That's the
And
most yeah, that's the most
a
important
place
thing.
to sign up for my what I call my once in a while newsletter. So
Busy, busy writers once in a while is a lot. Trust me. All right. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. Good luck with everything. I wish I was going to that party. It sounds fun. I hope you have a great time, and we will talk to you again.
okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.